Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
We've got an important episode for you today at KKHI as we are 1 week away, 1 week away from elections in Missouri. And these are the off-year, off-month, off-everything elections, but they're very important 1 week from today in so many municipalities and counties in our area. We will have your school board cheat sheet later in the podcast. And I would ask at this point, if you live in Missouri or know somebody that lives in Missouri and you're going to encourage them to vote in 1 week or vote this week in advance, while you're listening to the podcast, grab a piece of paper and a pencil. You don't have to write all these down. If you have a friend, for example, that you know lives in Lee's Summit, write down the Lee's Summit candidates when I mention the Lee's Summit ones. So this isn't about creating an entire cheat sheet. It's about listening and spreading the word of which candidates in which places, and you only need to know a place or two. If you live in Harrisonville, Emily Stone will be joining us a little bit later in this podcast. She's running for school board. We'll have the information for you on Harrisonville. Really, it's pretty much the same for anywhere. Just listen for the cues of your city. I'll announce them by city first, and then the names. Jot them down. You have them. You're good to go. I will do this before we hear from Emily Stone and after, so I'll do it twice. You'll have a chance to go back and get them a second time as we run down these important cheat sheet, if you will, a cheat sheet for you to go vote on April 5th and get our school board back. Remember, there's a bunch of other elections. There's mayors, there's council, there's all these things. We're not going to do all those here. I think with this audience anyway, one of the things that we recognize is there are places, for example, let's just say Kansas City, Missouri. There are places where you know, you're either not going to beat Mayor Lucas or flip the council or whatever, but Kansas City's a bad example. Other communities where at the very lower level with a school board, you can make a difference, at least in your community with the kids. You can change the way life actually works for families and for children if you pay attention to these things. These school boards are imminently flippable. They are. We can get control of these things. They've just been completely infected by liberals, and it's time to get them back, and we want to help any way we can. We had a commercial-free patron podcast on Monday. All patron podcasts are commercial-free, so if you want commercial-free content, sign up to become a patron at kkhasissues.com. We did quite a bit on the Royals yesterday on the patron podcast after they bang out 19 runs in four innings against the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, what a party the Royals bats through. I broke down their lineup, what it looks like the lineup and the order will be, and what I think of the Royals offensively and starting pitching. So that breakdown of the 2022 Royals is available for patrons if you sign up. You can play it right away. Just go to kkhasissues.com. Later on Tuesday, Danny Klingscale will join us. We'll have a Between the Lines 2.0, and we'll lock in much more on the Kansas Jayhawks in the Final Four. Also on Monday's patron podcast, which is commercial-free, a man from New York claims that James Naismith did not invent basketball, that he stole the idea, and a year later fraudulently invented basketball and took credit for it. This is a fascinating story. I play an audio clip from a podcast where this man was a guest, and it's quite convincing. He seems to have documentation that proves this to be true, but you'll have to hear it for yourself. Go to kkhasissues.com, sign up to become a patron. It's the kind of thing we do over there at the Patron Podcast. Again, those are always commercial free, and we do some things there that we just don't do here. So if you'd like to get more content, I think you'll enjoy the Patron Podcast and the newsletter each and every weekend. Well, you know, I'd been sort of lamenting how for the better part of a month that the war rages on in Ukraine and it's awful and we're watching it unfold, but there is a sameness to it every day. We see the rubble, we see the destruction that Russia hath wrought on Ukraine, and then we get a little, oh yeah, but look at this. They blew up a tank over here on a bridge. The Russians lost a tank. And so for me, for the past month, you've heard me say it before, you know, take a deal. I just believe in peace. Take a deal, and if there comes a point in time where that's not, you know, sustainable, then you fight again. I don't know, but take the deal. Just stop the killing. That's just kind of where I am. Easy for me to say, as I've said many times, I don't live in Ukraine. But I've kind of was wondering the last few weeks, am I the only person that thinks there's too much coverage of this on television? Are the media in this country escalating this by promoting it so heavily and having so many people watch it, talk about it, and whatever. And I had kind of in the back of my mind, well, that's probably what we're going to get until something else happens. And I really thought, you know, something else, you don't want it to be this, but normally it's something in this country, something devastating happens, something blows up, or there's a plane crash or a shooting or something that just rocks the entire country. And those things happen a lot of times, 2, 3, 4 times a year. And I thought, well, it's going to be something like that that's going to take our minds off Ukraine. I didn't say that. I just thought that. And boy, was I wrong, because it's nothing like that that's done that. The only thing in this country that can take the war off of your television is two actors in Hollywood getting into it on a stage. Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. I mean, honest to goodness. And I fell into the trap too, basically. I did a lot on this on Monday's podcast. The reactions are, it's so hard for anybody to react to this, because if you want to be liberal and politically correct, you immediately defend the comedian, but then you're defending free speech and bullying. Like, Chris Rock wasn't, the joke wasn't funny. The joke was bullying. He was bullying Will Smith's wife. That's not comedy. Chris Rock is a comedian. Didn't get much of a laugh. Everybody knows she has an illness. I mean, everybody knows she has an illness. Chris Rock then claiming that he doesn't know it. He's the only guy in the room that didn't know it. So they have to come out and they can't condone the violence. They can't. So you got to pick your liberal poison here. So what do we have here? We have black on black crime, which never gets reported in this country. Right? That's what we have. Black on black crime. We have bullying. We have toxic masculinity. We have violence. We got it all here. What? I mean, I don't know how they order these things on the left. To me, my reaction was, I kind of don't blame Will Smith. That joke wasn't funny. My wife has a disease. It's a real thing. There are, probably are people around the country seeing this that have the same illness or dealing with the same hair loss. For women, it's, I'm sure, more difficult and devastating than for men because of the pressures our society puts on women. I don't want to over-focus into it. And yes, he should have handled it backstage. All those things. But it was what it was. Some people think it was choreographed. Some people think it was pure Hollywood. I don't know, and I don't really care. I stand by what I say. I think my instinct, if my wife were being attacked on live television by somebody on stage in front of a room full of my peers, would be to do something. I don't know what it would be. I'm not a good fighter. I'm not violent. I probably wouldn't have gone up and slapped him because I would have been afraid that I'd get punched back and get my butt kicked. But you could see how much bigger Will Smith is than Chris Rock. That wasn't going to be much of a fight. It wasn't. So I like chivalry. Everybody calls it toxic masculinity now. I like it. I've got no problem with him in some way reacting and defending his wife. And that's my takeaway from this thing. But I don't sit here on the left and have all these other, you know, disciplines that I worry about. I don't ever think about toxic masculinity. I don't think about chivalry. I don't think much about black on black crime. I don't think much about bullying. These are not things that are in my world every day. I see them. I hear other people screaming about them, making a big deal about them. But this is what gets the war off of our television screens and off our phones, our devices, off Twitter. It's unbelievable. We returned to being America in our shallow nature. The shallow depths of American life have been propped up to the forefront once again by a slap on an Oscars stage. The second lowest rated Oscars in history is getting more play after the Oscars than any Oscars I can ever remember. Will Smith has formally apologized to Chris Rock. Chris Rock is not pressing charges. This thing will go away. I'm pretty sure the two guys will have a beer sometime and laugh about this. In all likelihood. It's no laughing matter to watch Joe Biden flounder. 5 incidents in 1 week now. And some people are calling them gaffes. Ted Cruz went on with Sean Hannity and said 5 gaffes in 1 week. They're not gaffes. They're errors. They're complete errors that could be disastrous and get people killed. And Ted Cruz explained this by telling Sean Hannity, If we are training Ukrainians in Poland right now, Joe Biden is one of two things. He's either wrong when he says we're training Ukrainian soldiers in Poland, or he's releasing classified information publicly. Because the Senate doesn't know this. Nobody else in D.C. knows this. He said gaffe number five nobody's talking about. And I don't think it's even a gaffe. These are just absolute errors, blunders by Biden. He's had a terrible week. If ever there were a president in our lifetime, you say, 25th Amendment, this guy's got to go. This is it. He clearly is not running the country. Everything he says, the White House backs off. They put a statement out. They correct what he said and said, here's what we really mean. And I don't mean to compliment Vladimir Putin, who's the face of evil. But at least the man is coherent enough and smart enough to know there's no reason to listen to Joe Biden. If Joe Biden says it, I don't need to listen to that. I really don't need to pay attention to it. I can ignore it. The man has a cheat sheet in his hand. There's photographs of it online. Tough Putin Q&A questions. Here's the answers to give to the questions. They're written right on a card for him, and he still gets it wrong. We have a president that they have to give a cue card to answer questions about the most important thing about his job, and that is preventing war. He has cards in his hand, and he still can't get it right. If ever, I mean, our founding fathers, well, in the amendments, 25th Amendment, we knew this could be a possibility someday. We knew we could have a president that's incapacitated. Now, the good news is, I'm not all that scared by this, and here's why. He seems very willing to let other people do the job for him. Like, if he were a berserk crazy man and said, go nuke, honestly, if he said, go nuke him right now, fire a missile at Moscow, do you think they would listen to him and follow the order? I don't think they would, because I don't think the apparatus would allow it. I mean, that's even if he went crazy on his own. And he's not. He's more than willing to just be the figurehead and let them run the country. We see this every day. Everything that's going on. If he says something wrong, the White House puts a statement out and corrects the president. I mean, this is unbelievable. This is really remarkable. And at the same time, Biden flounders, and we have all these examples. We see Donald Trump hitting a hole-in-one playing golf, and you're like, why is Trump playing golf and not our president? How is this possible? Trump's playing with Ernie Els, a couple other guys that are professional golfers. On Monday, he releases a statement, 180 yards, 5-iron, hole-in-one, walks up to the hole just as calm as can be. He goes, oh, yep, there it is. It's in the hole. Pulls the ball out. They've got it all on video. He stands there and takes pictures with the guys. When I hit my hole-in-one, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. My heart was racing and thumping. I didn't know if it was in. People had cheered up by the green. The people were sitting on their deck and watching, but I could still see the ball because at that point we had COVID cups, those little sponge things that were in the golf hole. So half the golf ball was still exposed. I'm like, no, that's not in. I can see the ball there. This is a prank. I'm being set up. And I get up there, and as I walk to the green, I can see it's in the sponge cup, which counts. It's in. It's more in than out, but you can see the ball. It didn't disappear. It's more in than out. I just went, oh my God, and I almost fell to my knees. My heart started racing. I had longed for one of these for so many years, and I literally felt like a cramp in my chest, like physically ill. I was just like overtaken with emotion. Trump? Nah. He just walks up. Maybe he's got a bunch of them, I guess. 3 weeks later, I hit another one. I went 40-some years playing golf without one. I hit my second 3 weeks later, 21 days exactly on a Sunday evening. That one was with Cabo and Jessica, and you can see pictures of that on the website. Our inaugural video that's up at kkhasissues.com, you can see it right there. A picture of us that we took after that hole-in-one, and I didn't feel near the angst, anxiety, or heart race or anything on the second one. I didn't. And I did see the second one disappear, so that was easy. It was like, it was in. Remarkable feeling. Trump does this. He's that guy. I mean, Trump is that guy. Let's just be honest. He's that guy. You watch Joe Biden walk around, not know where he is. What's Donald Trump doing? Oh, he's hitting holes in one. Sure, because of course. Not just president. He's a hole in one guy. He's that guy. He's just that guy. Trump did an interview at Mar-a-Lago with an outfit called Just the News. A lengthy interview where he says Vladimir Putin should release all the information about Hunter Biden accepting $3.5 million from the Moscow mayor and his wife a few years ago when Biden was vice president. He's like, well, here we go. Now we're in a conflict and Russia's involved in the whole deal and Putin's got dirt on the president. Everything they said about Trump that Putin didn't have, that didn't happen, and is proven false, is now real, and nobody seems to care. Vladimir Putin has information about Hunter Biden taking $3.5 million from the Moscow mayor and his wife. Vladimir Putin knows all about that deal. If there was anything even remotely dirty about it, he can use that against Biden at any point. This is crazy stuff going on. Trump is suggesting, heck, you're at war with Ukraine. You want to make the U.S. look bad? Just put that out there on Biden. He's calling on Putin to do it. Now, I disagree with Trump a little bit here in that I don't see what good that does for America. I see what good that does for Republicans and conservatives, but I don't see how that helps America. I don't think us just getting weaker and weaker with Biden as president is the answer. The 25th Amendment could be even worse. Then what? Kamala? Then who's really in charge? Is Obama in charge behind all this stuff? Is Obama calling the shots from behind the curtain on everything we're seeing? Because it sure feels like it. It's a lot of his people, and a lot of that is going on. But I guess we'll see whether Putin decides to use any of this information. He knows everything that went on in Ukraine as well. Putin must know all this stuff, the dirty dealings in Ukraine. He must know all of it. Never a dirty dealing at bstock.net. Their Tuesday special this week is the Samsung TU-8000 75-inch 4K smart TV, $1,199 at Best Buy. Are you ready for this? $1,199 at Best Buy, $699 at Bstock, $500 off. That's the TU-8000 75-inch from Samsung. They also have the TU-7000 4K smart TV, $700 at Best Buy, $499 in-store at bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Window World, simply the best for less. Window World will come to your home no matter where you live, anywhere in Kansas or Missouri, parts of Iowa, into Nebraska, sure. Window World is there for you. Just give them a call. They'll come out, take a look. Screen doors, sliding doors, storm doors, windows, siding. If your home needs it, they make it in America. Installed by professional installers with years of experience. Free analysis and estimate by calling Window World at 816-799-0820. There's a lifetime warranty. Window World's the official window provider of the Kansas City Chiefs, and they are simply the best for less online at windowskansascity.com. Miser Sports, online at misersports.com. Letter jackets, patches, embroidery, business, personal, you name it. Daryl Miser and his family-run business at Miser Sports is very much into a great local charity called HeroesAmongUsKC.org. You know what that's about. Daryl Miser has Kevin Keatsman Has Issues t-shirts, ball caps, sweatshirts, hoodies available right now for order. If you'd like to call him up and order, just call 816-741-8622 and he'll ship the gear right out to you. It's at a low price point and every nickel generated goes to the charity. Daryl makes nothing, I make nothing, nobody makes anything. You get the swag, HeroesAmongUsKC.org gets the funds. This is a great program we've got going. It's all Daryl's idea. He's a rock star. MisersSports.com, M-I-S-E-R-S, sports.com, 816-741-8622. Call Daryl right now. Put in that order. Just buy a t-shirt. It's $15. Buy a t-shirt or a ball cap or a hoodie. It's going to a great cause. And you'll enjoy the Kevin Keatsman Has Issues t-shirts. They're soft. They're high quality. You're going to like them. 816-741-8622. Back 9 Development, a custom home builder. TJ Vilkanskis has... well, he probably has the best high-end home building experience anywhere in the Midwest. And he just wants the opportunity to sit down with you and discuss the project of your dreams. So call TJ and say, we're considering this. We'll bring you in. We're talking to some other builders, whatever. Give him the opportunity to convince you that his transparent process is the best way to go. 785-236-0161. back9development.com. In sports, it's the Final Four this week. Did I mention, I think I mentioned at the top on the Patreon podcast yesterday. Yeah, we talked about a man that says James Naismith is a fraud. He stole the idea of basketball from someone else and took credit for it. It's Final Four week. Everybody comes out of the woodwork. I did read a very interesting piece from Gary Parrish, and I agree with it. The tone of Gary Parrish's story at CBS Sports is, this is not a top five Bill Self team, but they're the favorite to win the Final Four this weekend. They were never number one this year, but they're the favorite to win this team this weekend. He asks, is this Bill Self's sixth best team? Lower? Seventh? Eighth? Where do you rank this? And Parrish summarizes and says, it doesn't matter. They're playing their best ball at the end. They have complementary pieces that go together very well. They've had, he points out, a very easy road that a lot of teams in this tournament would have won four games. I still think Creighton is the best team they played to this point and knew that that would be the case. When the first draw came out, I said, I don't like Creighton sitting there in game two. And KU had a chance to put them away in that game. They were up nine with 7 minutes to go or whatever, had a chance to make it double digits and put them away and couldn't do it. But they re-won the game. They've done a lot of that. They fell behind Providence and did it. They were down six to Miami and did it. Kansas hasn't played great. They've beaten teams they're supposed to beat. Villanova's star player is lost. Villanova is not deep. They essentially play six players, and one of them's gone. So they're going to be rolling some guys out there on Saturday afternoon, evening, that haven't gotten as many minutes. And that's an advantage for Kansas, which is a very deep team. It's a good read. Go to cbssports.com. Gary Parrish says, that doesn't matter. You don't apologize for who you've played. Nobody cares. This is the way this is supposed to work. The years that Kansas had the best team and didn't win at all, you can make it up by having a year where you weren't the best team all year. It certainly isn't the best Kansas team ever, but you might go in and be the best team this weekend and get it. The question I would have is, if they face Duke, is Duke just more talented? Because they're younger. They're clearly getting better here at the end of the year. It's not Mike Krzyzewski's greatest coaching job. It's not. But are they just more talented? It's a big question. This is going to be a very interesting Final Four. It is Blue Bloods to the hilt. The Blue Bloods are everywhere. All right, before we get to our cheat sheet, I want to remind you we're brought to you by Buck Roofing, online at rbuckroofing.com. Get that free roof inspection this spring and make sure you're good to go. Call 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Merriam Body Shop, online at merriambodyshop.com. If you had a fender bender or a collision, they'll do the complete repair. They're State Farm preferred, which means you don't even have to call your agent if you have State Farm. You just call Justin over at Merriam Body Shop. They handle everything start to finish. Or so many of you are doing this and you love it. You're getting the ceramic coating put on your car and getting it detailed this spring. I can't recommend anything more than this. This is a great gift idea too. Mother's Day around the corner. Guys, your wife or your mom is going to love it if you have their car detailed. And you know, she doesn't keep it as clean as you'd like her to keep it. This is true. They'll do it. Merriam Body Shop. They've got a wonderful service called the New Car Image. Complete custom detailing, better than new. They like your car more than you do at merriambodyshop.com. North Kansas City Dental. You need a new dentist. Dr. Bill Bush is your guy. It's time to make the switch. Get your checkup. I go, let me flip here to April. Flip my calendar. April 12th, I'm going to Dr. Bush for the teeth cleaning, the full checkup and all that good stuff. So maybe I'll see you there that afternoon. A lot of folks are making the switch to Kansas City's best dentist. He is Dr. Bill Bush, North Kansas City and Westwood. He's the dentist of the Chiefs. He's the dentist of the Kansas City Current. Does all kinds of great work. Even if you have a sleep disorder, he can help with that as well. NKCDental.com, 816-471-2911. All right, on to our school boards and our cheat sheet here. We're going to do this twice. I'm going to run these down. So grab your paper and pencil, and when you hear your city, write these names down. There will be no names here of any opponents. This is just the people to vote for these school boards. A couple of these I may repeat. I have two sheets. One was sent to me by some great folks in Missouri, and it's a long list, and not a long list, but it's a list alphabetically here. And I'll do those first. Then I have my own cheat sheet of all the emails I've gotten from other people, and I'll do those. A couple of those might be repetitive. So I there may be a couple that you hear twice, but here we go. Alphabetically, Cameron, Missouri, Shauna Conley, Clinton, Missouri, Rhonda Cox, Cody Westendorf, Fort Osage, Cress Chambers, Tim Brown, Grandview, Peter Faust, Timothy Brown, Kearney, Leonard Broughton, Stacy Rule, Lee Summit R7, Heather Eslick, Jennifer Foley, Liberty Public Schools, Dan Currents, Kyle Bryant, Maryville R2, Isaiah Korthank, North Kansas City, Dwayne Barch, Josiah Bechtold, Park Hill, Corey Terrell, Tammy Thompson. We had Corey Terrell on the show. You may remember that a few weeks ago. He's awesome. He's a Missouri and a Villanova grad. He's got to be very happy that Nova's in the Final Four. You can go back and hear that podcast if you want to hear everything about Park Hill and Corey Terrell. He's phenomenal. Great podcast. Thank you, Corey, for doing that for us. Platte County R3, 2 seats available. There are 3 conservatives running: Kathy Schlim, Mike Claxton, and Mike Matusak. Pleasant Hill, Adam Castle, Jesse Schumann, Mary Bordner. Raytown, Alexis Christopher and Natalie Johnson Berry. Smithville, Christopher Palmer, Whitney Carlisle. Windsor, Chris Casey, Charles Huey, Carrie Meese. Now on to my cheat sheet. I mentioned Corey Terrell and Tammy Thompson from Park Hill. Platte City, Robert Shepard. He's been in contact with me. He's terrific. Robert Shepard's great. RobertShepard.com is his website. We mentioned Mike and Mike as well. Mike Claxton, Mike Matusak, and Kathy Schlim. There's 8 running for 2 seats there in Platte City. Liberty, Kyle Bryant, Dan Currents. Harrisonville, Emily Stone and Jenny Wagner. Emily will join us in just a couple of moments. Rockwood, which isn't near here, Jessica Clark. Excelsior Springs, Josh Brown. Lee Summit, I think we mentioned, Heather Eslick and Jennifer Foley. Savannah, Corey Schilling and Aaron Jones. St. Joseph, Kim Miller, Colby Oyerly. Blue Springs, Bobby Hawk, Rhonda Gilstrap. 2 seats open in Blue Springs. And Avenue City, Chase Holcombrink and David Schultz. There's your cheat sheet, okay? We've had Corey Terrell on. We've talked to candidates. And I just think a really cool thing is happening all over the country, and our area certainly is not unique, as people are just stepping up. People who wouldn't normally do anything like this are stepping up and saying, we got to take this stuff back. As train wrecks go with school boards, Harrisonville, Missouri has not been the shining example of liberalism gone wild. But the people of Harrisonville have found out over the past couple of years that liberals run their school board. While they've had it better than most, they see it going more and more left. Emily Stone is stepping up to do something about it. Her background is in business. Her children have been in Christian schools in Harrisonville prior. That school closed down, and for the last 5 years, they've been in public schools. She's running with a longtime friend, Jenny Wagner, whose background is in education. They are rock-solid conservatives, and they're ready to rock the school board in Harrisonville, Mo. Emily Stone joins us. Hello, Emily. How are you?
Hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for the time to talk to the audience. I appreciate it.
You know, let me just start by thanking you. God bless you. What you're doing and what so many people, tens of thousands of people around America are doing right now is exceptional. You never, I'm going to guess in a million years, you never thought you were ever going to run for anything, but you see this is important. God bless you. Way to go.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I would have never, ever considered this to be something in my wheelhouse, but I'll tell you what, as I've gotten involved and really paid attention over the last few years, I feel very strongly that I can represent our district very well on the school board.
Okay, is there one thing that led you to this point? What was it during COVID or the lockdowns or masks or whatever, that, or was it a compilation of things that happened and you said, I got to go do this? Why are you doing this?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I've got kids in the district, obviously, so I'm very heavily invested in making sure that they get the best education possible. As watching the meetings, there were a couple of things that frustrated me. Number one was the complete lack of respect, really, and a complete disregard that our parents that had the courage to get up and speak to the board over COVID concerns, they were just completely ignored. And sometimes they were even, eyes were rolled, they were ridiculed, and almost 100% of the time they were voted against, which was really disheartening. Some of our other board members would vote only for what was important to their personal family situation rather than remembering that they would need to represent the entire community. And then the other thing I'm concerned about is just some general lack of curiosity from our board. When there's things, as I'm at the meetings, I leave sometimes with some questions specifically around curriculum and results that we've gotten. And I wish that the board would ask some questions, and there really aren't a lot of questions asked. And I would like to be someone on the board that asks the questions and challenge the leadership of our district to make sure we're getting the right results for our kids.
Okay, so it's Emily and Jenny. If you live in Harrisonville and you're voting, April 5th is our day. If you know people that live in Harrisonville, email them, get on their Facebook page, call your friends and relatives, say, did you know there's an election April 5th? Because most people don't go out and vote in April. Go vote for school board in Harrisonville. We want to vote for Emily and Jenny. It's not much more complicated than that. Emily Stone is our guest. Jenny Wagner is your longtime friend. Her background is in education. You told me before we got started here today that the two of you are pretty much lockstep. You agree on almost everything here. Tell me a little bit about Jenny.
So Jenny's had about 17 years she's spent in education. In our local area, she's very known for teaching music. She brought great passion and energy to our Christian school when she had been there. She still teaches piano and guitar lessons to the local community. She has a great passion and energy when it comes to education for her kids and for the entire community. She has also taught K through 12 every subject possible. She's taught both in Missouri and in New Jersey. So she's got a great background when it comes to education and understanding how things could potentially change in the curriculum or things that our teachers are doing, our staff are doing on a daily basis to get better results for the kids.
Okay, so this is a 7-person board in Harrisonville, and I think this is a classic case of what's going on everywhere. I think this is really pretty much a shining example because there's a lot of school boards in our area that are very much the same. If I have this right, what you've indicated to me is you believe there are 2 conservatives out of 7 on this board. There are 2 people that flip-flop around like maybe Mitt Romney or somebody like that. They could go with the conservatives, but they may go with the liberals. And there are what you've described, not, is my word is liberal, not yours. You've told me that there are 3 on the board that pretty much go against parents at every turn and believe that the schools are in charge of the kids and the parents are not. Of those 3, 2 of those 3 are the seats that are open. One person is leaving. Another is running for re-election, and that is Brittany Sexton. We don't want to say Brittany's name too much, but it sounds like she's a train wreck and she's got to go.
She's been very disappointing. I will admit, personally, I don't know anything about Brittany, so what I say is based solely on what I've seen when I've attended meetings. But she was very, very disrespectful, in my opinion, to parents by rolling her eyes when they were speaking, calling out why she wouldn't believe that people would think the way that they do and not want masks on their kids to avoid quarantine, and even stated that quarantines didn't work for her family specifically, and then voted to keep masks on our kids because it worked for her family situation. And those things are just not representative of what you do on a school board when you're representing the entire community. And you have to be aligned. You have to support your parents. You cannot continue to just ignore your parents and think things are going to go good for the school district.
Well, and Harrisonville's a conservative place. I've spent a lot of time there. You obviously live there. You know that. Is this the first time that you can remember, and you've been there a while, is this the first time you can remember that people are thinking about voting for school board and it's actually become somewhat political? Have the people of Harrisonville recognized something about their school board that they didn't previously know?
I would say yes. We've had a ton of interest and a ton of support. I mean, as people have come out at some meet the candidate events, there's been people that I've never met before in my life that are super, super passionate. I think they would have never thought about getting behind a political candidate and stepping out of their comfort zone and publicly supporting someone. And I think it's just become so important that our schools need to make the right choices, that they've been willing to put their support behind us and hope that we can get some changes made on our school board.
Are you and Jenny campaigning as conservatives? Are you letting people know? Because these are non-affiliated, when you go to vote, it doesn't say Republican or Democrat next to the candidates in any of these, which I think, by the way, we need to pass state laws in Kansas and Missouri to where any election where anyone goes to vote, we should know what political party the candidate is with. And if they want to claim they're independent, that's fine too. But you should have to claim whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, or Green Party, or Libertarian, or whatever it is that you want to be. That's, I'm sure, not the case here. Have you been campaigning as conservatives, and has that helped you?
I would think so, because we've got a bunch of people who have come out and said that they know that they need to see some changes. I wouldn't say we're specifically calling out that we're conservative, but definitely the issues that we're passionate definitely lean very conservative, and that is something that is so very important to both Jenny and myself. We've got to get back to the basics and make sure that our kids are learning the things that they need to succeed once they graduate from Harrisonville schools. And I'm not sure that that's the direction it's been going at this point. Thankfully, I don't think we're too far down the road that we can't fix it, but we definitely have some work to do. And we need people that are willing to make tough decisions, that are willing to challenge the norms and challenge the leadership, and get the best results we possibly can for our kids.
Now, I don't know your district, so I'm only asking strategically. I assume you have yard signs and things like that up. Did you make a choice to not put Republican or conservative on there? There's a woman in Rockwood, which is not close to here, Jessica Clark, whose yard signs all say vote conservative, Rockwood School Board, Jessica Clark, and believes that's going to make all the difference in the world. Did you think about doing that, or would that help in Harrisonville, or would it hurt you?
I feel like name recognition. We do have yard signs. We even have some great businesses that have supported us with some big banners. So that's been really nice to see. I guess neither one of us thought we'd ever run for a political campaign. So we've obviously had a lot to learn in this process. And knowing that this is not a party specific election, I don't think it crossed either one of our minds. We just knew that we were going to have issues that were generally conservative that we were going to focus on.
Is it considered, because we just had a mayor race last year in Overland Park, where supposedly when you run for mayor in Overland Park, you're not supposed to say whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It's supposed to just be open. And they get down to the two finalists, and those two counter each other. But the man who ran, the conservative that ran, put signs up everywhere that he was conservative, Republican, whatever. And I think he wound up losing by just a couple hundred votes. It was a very close election. He did not win, but he wanted people to know, hey, this is what I am, whether you like it or not. But he was widely criticized for doing that because that election is not supposed to be partisan. Is that the way it is in Harrisonville? Do they actively encourage you to not be partisan?
You know, Kevin, I can't say that I really know one way or the other. Generally, our mayor race obviously is not one party or the other. I don't know that I can answer that question very well for you.
Yeah, no, I understand. Just philosophically, having thought about it now, do you think that this should be on the ballot? Would you rather it say Democrat next to this Brittany lady and Republican next to you? Wouldn't that benefit you tremendously? If that were the law, if they had to put it on the ballot that way?
Well, I would think that that'd be something in our area, knowing, but I guess there's also sometimes that Republicans don't truly vote the way that they should if they're going to be a true conservative. So I'm not even sure if a Republican or Democrat are the right thing. It might be wanting to call out something that more conservative or liberal, because those have different meanings than necessarily Democrat and Republican do.
Amen to you, Emily. I'm with you there. I always say conservatives and liberals because there is a big difference. You know, Mitt Romney can't call himself a Republican anymore. That's just where I am in my world. There's just too many. And they've got people, you know, they don't think that the senator from West Virginia can be called a Democrat anymore. So, it happens on both sides. But I just think this is awesome what you're doing. I want to remind everybody again, we're talking about Harrisonville School District, Emily Stone, and Jenny Wagner. So it's real easy. Emily and Jenny, you only vote for two, and we don't want people guessing. Don't go in there and guess. Remind people if they're going to be voting for a school board, don't go in and guess. There's two votes available here. Emily and Jenny is the way to go in Harrisonville. I endorse you completely, Emily. I hope you get this done. You sound to me like you'd be a great leader on that board.
Well, thank you. You know, I think I bring a good business sense to the board. Obviously, I'm passionate because my kids are involved in the school district. They're involved, obviously, in academics, but they're in bands, they're in sports. There's lots of opportunities in Harrisonville. We're a great small community, which is one of the things we love about it. You can try just about everything. And I just want this community to be successful. I want to see some of our results improve. But generally, I love this community, and I really want to represent it. There's going to be tough decisions that have to be made, obviously, around some of the curriculum things that are coming out. Budgeting is going to be a major, major issue given the inflation and contracts that are going to be renewed with an increased spend. I feel like I've got a great background, and I feel like this is the right time for me to step up and to represent our community on the Harrisonville School Board.
That's awesome. There are great people everywhere, and the people of Harrisonville have a chance to improve their school board. April 5th, vote Emily and Jenny. Emily, thank you so much for your time, and best of luck to you. Way to go.
Thanks, Kevin. I really appreciate the support.
There's Emily Stone. She is terrific. Vote for her. Vote for Emily in Harrisonville. Emily and Jenny in Harrisonville. Way to go, Emily. Thank you so much for your time. That was just great. All right. Once again, quick rundown here. If you haven't hit your stop button or your pause or whatever, you want to write these down. Here we go. Cameron, Missouri, Shauna Conley. Clinton, Rhonda Cox, Cody Westendorf. Fort Osage, Cress Chambers, Tim Brown. Grandview, Peter Faust, Timothy Brown. Kearney, Leonard Broughton, Stacy Rule. Lee's Summit, Heather Eslick, Jennifer Foley. Liberty, Dan Currents, Kyle Bryant. Maryville, Isaiah Korthanke. North Kansas City, Dwayne Barch, Josiah Bechtold. Park Hill, Corey Terrell, Tammy Thompson. Platte County, Kathy Schlimm, Mike Claxton, and Mike Matusak. Pleasant Hill, Adam Castle, Jesse Schumann, Mary Bordner Tank. Raytown, Alexis Christopher, Natalie Johnson Berry. Smithville, Christopher Palmer, Whitney Carlisle. Windsor, Chris Casey, Charles Huey, Carrie Meese. Park Hill, we mentioned, Corey and Tammy. Platte City, also Robert Shepard. We don't want to leave him out. Liberty, Kyle Bryant, Dan Currents, Lee Summit. We mentioned Heather and Jennifer. Excelsior Springs is Josh Brown. Rockwood is Jessica Clark. Harrisonville, as you heard, Emily Stone, Jenny Wagoner. Avenue City is Chase Holkenbrink and David Schultz. Blue Springs, Bobby Hawk, Rhonda Gilstrap. Savannah, Corey Schilling, Aaron Jones, St. Joe, Kim Miller, Colby Euerling. Go do it. Go vote. Go make a difference. It is 1 week from today, April 5th. All these things matter. In the meantime, find people you trust or go online and find out who to vote for mayor, who to vote for your city council, and all your other county and board positions. If they're up and available April 5th in Missouri, these elections matter. They may actually matter more directly to your family than a presidential election. It's a really big deal. Get involved. You know who to vote for your school board now. Get involved. Learn more about everyone else that's running, where you live, and make a difference. These smaller local elections are critical and important. And the first times in our lives, we're all paying attention to find out who we need to vote for. Then we're going to press candidates at the state level to start passing state laws that say you have to declare when you run for one of these positions, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, independent, or other, or whatever you are, that it needs to be on the ballot when I go vote. Because there is no reason to confuse voters. There's no reason for any voters to guess. If you want to vote for conservatives, you should see it right there on your ballot that that's the person. Republican, Democrat, whatever, it ought to be right there. And we need to get to that point, but we're not there yet. We'll get there. Right now, you know your candidates. Find out how to vote for mayor and how to vote for city council on your own where you live and make a difference on April 5th, whether you're voting sometime in the next week or live next Tuesday. And wherever you go and you talk about this with people, remind them of this podcast. Say, if you don't know, he did a rundown. They're all right there. Go listen to the podcast. I ran through them twice. It's easy enough to find out who to vote for. Tell people that Kevin Keatsman has issues and he has a cheat sheet for you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.